Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
And this morning, you get a 1952-year-old preacher. I remember the 1950s. Not a whole lot beyond church. I lived at the church. And that's almost not, I actually spent more hours at church than I did at home. My mom was the pastor's secretary. And there was nobody to babysit me. I needed constant watching. Well, at least I got one of you man out of her. So I went to church every day. And I would stand on the platform and sing and have church. I'd preach and there wasn't anybody there. I knew every square inch of the church building. I lived there. By the way, I want to do this. Let's see. Wow, you guys are going to have to work on your section. It's really, really bad over here. Let's see. Be patient, because we were going to have you move into a group to do this, but cool. Now you can't tell somebody you weren't here. We have proof. Hey, this morning I want to talk to you a little bit about life. Anybody know anything about it? Oh, I wanted to do something. I'd like for everybody who, let's see, how can I do this? You remember the 50s, let's put it that way. If you would stand up, let's see how many people we have who actually remember the 50s. Yeah, cool. So how are we doing so far? Anything like the 50s? All right, you can give them a hand of applause for being alive. Nothing like life. I'm going to ask you a question this morning, and I'm going to come out there and get some of your answers. But what I would like for you to do is to answer this question in 1 to 3 words. Okay? What is life? What is life? Okay? What is life? Now, I'm not going to just arbitrarily, because I don't want to embarrass anybody by sticking a microphone in their face, but who will help us? Have you thought of something? What is life? Just put your hand up and I'll come back to you. Okay, here we go.
It's salvation in Jesus.
Salvation in Jesus, okay. You're going to get spiritual on me, okay. What is life?
Being content. Content.
Being content. Okay. What is life?
It's a journey.
A journey. Yeah. Oh, we got to get over here. What is life?
It's a practice.
It's practice. Oh, cool. Somebody back here in the back. Wow, I don't come back here very much. This is... You guys thought you were hiding back here. Here I am.
It's the same as her, an adventure, I said.
Adventure.
All right. Did I see another hand up in here? Here we go. What is life?
Life is nothing but choices.
You're going to have to stop yelling at him so much.
Fleeting moment of time. What? Fleeting moment of time.
Oh! A fleeting moment of time. Here we go. Yes.
Worth living.
Worth living. All right. Anybody else over here? Here we go. Here we go. This is my exercise for the date. I can go home and take a nap.
God's breath in us.
God's breath in us. Anybody else over here? What is life?
Love and family.
Love and family. Amen. Anybody else? Did we miss somebody? Anybody? That's it. That's all life is. Amen. Oh, here we go. There's Tony over there. Did you notice I was faster when I started this? What is life, Tony?
It's a prelude to eternity.
Prelude to eternity. Ooh. What is life? Resident theologian, what is life in 1 to 3 words?
1 to 3.
A journey.
Copycat.
A journey.
Amen. What is life? Let me tell you what Shakespeare said in Macbeth. You all read that last night, I'm sure. He said, life is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury and signifying nothing. Robert Browning said, I count life just a stuff to try the soul's strength on. And Thomas Carlyle said, life is a little gleam of time between two eternities. Big stuff. In John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then he asks her a question. Do you believe this? This, of course, came out of Jesus' words to Mary and Martha when they lost their brother Lazarus. At this point, he was in the tomb. Jesus had delayed his coming. We see deliberately so that he could raise Lazarus from the dead. The raising of Lazarus actually caused him a lot of trouble. He saved that kind of miracle to the very end of his ministry because the raising of Lazarus stirred a lot of emotion among the Jewish people. And as they gathered in Jerusalem for the Passover feast, it was the talk of the town that Lazarus had been raised from the dead. And much of what we know to be that Holy Week evolved around that, or revolved around that truth that Lazarus was raised from the dead. This morning, I want us to look at three types of life. I'm not gonna labor with this morning. I want to present them to you. You're going to know and understand at least the first one, and perhaps I can paint a picture of the second two that will help you in your understanding. The first type of life, and by the way, let me give you my definition of life. Choices. Choices. Which leads me to the first type of life. We'll call it ordinary life. How many are living an ordinary life. Oh, come on. How many went to work this last week? How many ate some food? Liars, some of you. You see, this kind of life Jesus refers to in John chapter 3 as born of flesh or born of water. He's talking about natural birth. The amniotic fluid around the baby. He is identifying this natural physical life or ordinary life as born of water, born of flesh. Now, in this ordinary life, it comes to us without a choice. There's not a one of us sitting here that called up our mother and said, I'd like to be born. I would like to be born on October 22nd, 1952, please, because that would be a good day for me to have a birthday. Put in your own birth date. It came at the will of our mother and father. No matter how reluctant the decisions may have been that brought our life, a decision, a choice was made. Come on. To perform a certain act, which we won't go into, that brought forth a life that is you. I'm personally very thankful that my mom and my dad chose to give me life. Thanks, Mom and Dad. My mom will be listening to this right now. Thank you, Mom. She's been going to church, the early service, so she can come home and watch our service online as it's streamed in. Good morning, Mom. Henry Ward Beecher wrote, God asks no man whether he will accept life. That's not the choice. You must take it. The only choice is how. Henry Emerson Fosdick wrote, life is like a library owned by an author. In it are a few books which he wrote himself, but most of them were written for him. Have you ever noticed that? That most of our lives, the book is written by somebody else. Things are going on around us. Things are happening around us. And then we have choices of what we're going to do with those circumstances and with those decisions that other people make. Come on. Isn't that true? I'll have you at my point here before we end this, that life is about choices. Life, and forgive this, we'll get to a brighter side, but a life is full of pain and sacrifices. We come into this world through pain and sacrifice of our mothers. Then life hands us the challenges that test our mettle and our resolve at literally every turn. Can I get a witness that there are a few challenges, a little bit of pain, a little bit of struggle in this life? Come on, it's not a non-spiritual thing for us to agree together that life is difficult. Jesus himself said, in this world you will have tribulation. So he realized that life was difficult. As a matter of fact, Jesus himself experienced a great deal of sorrow and struggle and difficulty growing up and as a grown-up. Let me give you just a peek. His father died. He was trained as a carpenter. His earthly father, Joseph, died at some point. We don't have a scriptural account as to when or how he died, but we are certain that he died because he's no longer in the picture. Okay, so That meant that as the oldest son, Jesus would have had to have stepped into the responsibilities as a young man, perhaps in his teens or in his early 20s. He would have had to step into the role of the provider of that family, and he would have been out there working the carpenter shop and doing everything he could to provide for his brothers and sisters, of which we have listed in the New Testament. Thomas Fuller said, "We're born crying, live complaining, and die disappointed." Wouldn't this guy have been a real fun person to be around? Thomas Carlyle said, "Life is a humbug." I think I've met him. And Lou Holtz, some of you know him. Yeah. Lou Holtz said, "Life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it." I come back to my choices thing. Oh, but I'm pleased to tell you that life isn't all about pain and suffering and struggle, because life is full of joy and laughter and incredible relationships. Amen? Come on now. Aren't you thankful for some of the fantastic relationships that you have? Aren't you thankful for a good laugh? How many have had a laugh where it just hurt? But even with that pain, you were glad because you got to have that laugh. You know, they always talk about a good cry will help you. I actually think a good laugh will help you just as much. Okay, so maybe you heard about this lady. A pious but cranky old woman was put out because her neighbors were having a picnic and she had not been invited. On the morning of the picnic, someone finally remembered her and called to ask her to go along. "It's too late," she snapped. "I've already prayed for rain." Or perhaps you're like the person that has the bumper sticker on their car that says, "Get revenge. Live long enough to be a problem to your children." You're going to laugh at those later. Can I tell you also that not only is life full of pain and sacrifice, full of joy and laughter and relationships, but life is brief. This old ordinary life of ours is really quite brief. Now, some of you that are younger, you may not fully grasp this, but if you can think with me for just a moment of a particular day that you were struggling, perhaps physically, and you thought the day would never end, as you were going through the agony of that physical experience, whatever it was. But it did end. And you got to the other side of it and you look back and you start thinking, how long ago was that I went through that horrible day? It's good to see Caleb with us today. Welcome home, brother. He was saying this morning it was 4 years ago that he left and went to boot camp in the Marines. 4 years ago. It doesn't seem like it was more than a year. Of course, if we stop and we start recounting all the things that have happened and how many Christmases and all the tears, there's mom and dad sitting over here just weeping every single Sunday and everything, you know, going, "Oh, my boy," you know, when you count all of those, you realize that it has been 4 years. But time just goes so fast. It was just yesterday that I was that little kid, same haircut, by the way, standing up on a platform in an empty sanctuary and singing and preaching and conducting an entire service and not a soul in there. Sometimes the secretaries would peek their head in, you know. Whole service. Seems like yesterday. James
Steve is teaching on James, so, you know, I defer to him every time we hit James. James chapter 4, verse 14 says, why you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are like a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. I actually thought one of you Bible scholars would pull that one out. What is life? Thought somebody say, it is a mist. Let me read it to you one more time because it's an important one. Why do you not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Keep in mind that Jesus was born and lived 30 years of an ordinary life. He experienced the pains, the joys. You know, we have him walking around with the disciples. Oh, I don't think it was true. I think Jesus was with 12 men going about the countryside. And these were not 12 sophisticated guys. I may really mess up your vision this morning. But he was with a bunch of fishermen and a bunch of plain and ordinary guys. And so there would have been all kinds of stories and things that would have come out, and some of them in low voices so that he couldn't hear, but he heard everything. I'm sure that somebody probably told a funny now and then, and probably even did some funny things, and Jesus laughed. You know why? Because he had an ordinary life. But you see, I need to talk to you this morning about another step in this, and this one I would call a no ordinary life, or what Jesus calls in John 10:10, an abundant life. Because he said, I have come, well, let me start back. He says, the thief or the enemy of our souls, he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You need to understand that there is a spiritual entity in this world who is working for your destruction. He'll send people, he'll send things in your path for you to choose that will destroy you. But Jesus said, but I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Now that word abundant is an incredible word. Let me define it for you here, if I can find my definition somewhere in there. It means over the top, above and beyond. So Jesus said it like this. He said, I have come that you might have ordinary life, yes, but that I might take your ordinary life and take it above and beyond. Take your life over the top. Do you realize that what he's talking about is the believer's life? What is this life that Jesus promised? It's an ordinary life, but it's the ordinary life that God planned for man before the fall in the Garden of Eden. In other words, God wants to, by the sacrifice of Jesus, take us back to the no ordinary life that he had mapped out for mankind without sin, without struggle, without pain, without death. That's the plan that God had for man. But as I said, life is about choices. And Adam and Eve, they made a choice. God said, don't eat the fruit of the tree. They rebelled against what God said. And they ate the fruit, and because of it, death and pain and destruction came into their lives and to their seed, which is all of us. So the ordinary life then is a life that has been clouded with the struggle against sin. Jesus came
to live an ordinary life, but to give his life so that you and I could have an abundant, over the top, above and beyond kind of life. It's a life of blessing. I love Jeremiah 29:11. Some of you have it on your wall as a plaque. He says, I know the plans I have for you. The plans to prosper, to bless you. You see, that's what God wants for our ordinary lives. He wants to take our ordinary life and cleanse us by the blood of Jesus Christ who died upon the cross and then enable us to live above and beyond. I know some of you are sitting there going, now, wait a minute, I'm a Christian and I feel quite ordinary. You know, church, I don't think that we're living to the full measure of what God has made a plan for us to live. And you know, it all comes down to one word. You know what it is? You're catching on. It comes down to choices. You see, there are many people who are avoiding the life of a believer, the light of salvation, or the life of salvation, or the born again. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus that it was. He said, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. But he said, how can I do that? How can I go back into my mother's womb? Jesus said, what is born of flesh is flesh, but what is born of spirit is spirit. Nicodemus, you must be born again. You see, he made a plan. When he died upon the cross, he said, whosoever believes in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, how cool is that? He saw us in our sin. He recognized that as we walked these ordinary lives, just like Adam and Eve, that we were going to be making choices, bad choices, that all would lead us up to death. But he said, I have come to step into your ordinary life and to set you on a path that is above and beyond. Now understand this. He is a gracious God. He is a loving God. And he does not force us to walk on his path. But rather, he places before us the opportunity to have an over-the-top, blessed life by our choices. The first choice that we make is if we choose to believe in Jesus. If we choose to believe that he came and died upon a cross to save our sins and to redeem our lives. But you see, folks, it doesn't stop there. Because see, many people believe that Jesus died. There is another step beyond belief that we need to account to here in the scripture. And that is to be in Christ. Paul says it this way. He says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things become new. To be in Christ is to make a choice, a decision, to not only accept him as Savior, but to accept his way of life. Now you say, you know, I know a lot of Christians and they live this way and they say this and they do this. Absolutely, because we are all on the ordinary life journey. And we all have before us choices to make. Come on, there should be some shouting right now. And as we make those choices, guess what? Even those that are striving for the life above, the abundant life, sometimes we make those ordinary life decisions. Huh? When we are in Christ Jesus, when we are living our lives in him, then a life of abundance. And I'm not just talking about finances or physical things. I'm talking about things like joy and peace. Things that the ordinary life cannot access through just choices that they make. The only choice that promises you and I a life of abundance and over the top and above and beyond is the life that Jesus brings to us from the cross and from the empty tomb. Choices. I need to talk to you for a moment or two about one more kind of life. I've called this one the extraordinary or the extraordinary life. You know what that is? That is the resurrected life. Again, Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? I think we have to handle the question. Every single time we make that proclamation, we have to handle the question. Do you believe it? Do you believe that Jesus died to bring us life, to give us that over-the-top kind of life? Do you believe that you and I can live a life of choices in Christ Jesus and by those choices come to the point that even when we die in this ordinary life, that we live forever? These folks just sang beautifully to us, because he lived. I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone. But see, that's not just about the ordinary life. That is about this life that goes beyond this life. You see, there are seeds down inside of me and down inside some of you. The seeds of everlasting life. The seeds of life eternal that have been placed there by God. It is the Spirit of the Lord. Paul says it this way. He said, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you, and what does he say? He will quicken your mortal bodies. Oh, hallelujah. So you see, not only do I get to live beyond my choice an ordinary life, but through my choice, an abundant, over-the-top, blessed life. But I get to live an extraordinary life that says, even when this old body gives it up, there's still a plan. There's still life. Hallelujah. I must read you something here. I still have a couple minutes. I promised the kids I'd be done by quarter till, so you can set your watches. They can go off at the same time. Listen to this. Now, you know, I've been a pastor for 40 years, so I have stood. As a matter of fact, I was looking this morning. The page on this Bible is kind of, you can't see it from where you're at, but it's kind of changed. And the reason being because I have used this a number of times at funerals. And sometimes it rains. And it's rained on my Bible from this passage. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood, that's the ordinary life, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Now listen, I'll tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, that's a blink of the eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, I could stand it if somebody got excited about this. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable. And we will all be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable. This sounds like a bunch of stuff, but what he is saying is this, that the ordinary is changed into the extraordinary. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with the immortality, then the saying that is written will come true, death has been swallowed up in victory. Then it will be heard, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? That means, you know, death hurts us in our ordinary life. It can even penetrate through and hurt us in our abundant life. But death cannot hurt our extraordinary life. The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But listen, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, hallelujah. He closes that out by saying this, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Hallelujah. There's a lot of things in this old ordinary life that I don't understand. There's a lot of things that I cannot explain. People come to me and say, Pastor, explain to me why this has happened to me. I can't. My understanding, my wisdom is limited in this life, but this I know. If you are willing to make a choice to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, then one of these days, he is going to make a choice to say, that one belongs to me. Raise them from the dead. And we will have a place with him in glory. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Knowing about Jesus is not sufficient. You need to give your life to Jesus. As Paul said, be in Christ, to be a new creation. Your ordinary life was chosen for you. Your life as a believer, you choose. Or you choose not to. And if you choose Jesus, then he will choose you for resurrection. Amen? Oh, let me conclude here. This is a little bit of a bummer, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. This is a song written by Joni Mitchell. Some of you will remember the song. It's called Both Sides Now. And this is where the world, the ordinary livers, livers, this is where they dwell. Rose and flows of angel hair and ice cream castles in the air and feathers canyons everywhere. I've looked at clouds that way. But now they only block the sun, they rain and snow on everyone. So many things I could have done, but clouds got in my way. I've looked at clouds from both sides now, from up and down, and still somehow it's cloud illusions I recall. I really don't know clouds at all. Moons and Junes and Ferris wheels, the dizzying dancing way you feel. As every fairy tale comes real, I've looked at love that way. But now it's just another show. You leave them laughing when you go. And if you care, don't let them know, don't give yourself away. I've looked at love from both sides now, from give and take, and still somehow, it's love's illusions I recall. I really don't know love at all. Tears and fears and feeling proud to say I love you right out loud. Dreams and schemes and circus crowds, I've looked at life that way. But now old friends are acting strange. They shake their heads. They say I've changed. Well, something's lost, but something's gained in living every day. I've looked at life from both sides now, from win and lose, and still somehow it's life's illusion. I recall, I really don't know life at all. I've looked at life from both sides now, from up and down, and still somehow it's life's illusions. I recall, I really don't know life at all. You see, my friends, there's an ordinary life. And if you choose to live your ordinary life, you live under the canopy of the confusion that is given to us by the confuser. There's lots of confusion to be had. There's lots of pain, there's lots of sorrow, there's lots of hurt. And as I said, our life is really about choices, and we will make those choices that actually bring more pain and more sorrow and more hurt into our lives. But there is a life that Jesus has given to us if we will accept it. It is a life that says, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is a life that says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. It is a life that Jesus was talking about when he said, I have come that you might have life and have it over and beyond. He wants to give that to every single one of us. But you see, life is about choices. But if you will make that choice this morning, in the same way that Jesus rose from the dead and we celebrate this day, you can celebrate knowing that one of these days, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead can dwell in you and will quicken your mortal body and give you everlasting, extraordinary life. Amen?